You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Remember me, guys? Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your regular host, Ben Dubose. As we chat on this Monday morning, it's a very positive vibe around Houston and certainly within the Rockets locker room. Rockets coming off a very impressive 118-95 win on Sunday in Indianapolis. Night two of a back-to-back on the road. So many reasons that it could have been a schedule loss, and yet not only was it not a schedule loss, it wasn't even close. Rockets won this game by 23, won it going away, and had a 17-point lead after just the first quarter. So a lot of positive storylines to get into. I plan on doing that over the next few minutes, but I do want to acknowledge, before we get too far into the nitty-gritty of the Rockets, the great work here on this program the last few days by Ali Bashani, a.k.a. at Rockets underscore Insider on Twitter, and Kelly Eco, at Kelly Eco NBA on Twitter. I had them filling in this weekend while I was on vacation to break down the Cleveland and Memphis games. Thought they did a great job in my absence to keep this program running. We're the only daily podcast covering the Rockets. We're the only podcast covering that has a show on every game out of the 82 in the regular season, and for that matter, even the 5 in the preseason, and of course in the playoffs. So when I'm out, to keep that going, we need folks like Ali and Kelly to fill in. Thought they did a great job, so thanks to them for that. But jumping back into things, because I'm back in Houston, I'm ready for the game tomorrow night, I'm ready to start taking in this team the same way that you guys are on a daily basis, and getting to watch that game last night, boy, it was a revelation, because as I said, the extenuating circumstances, when you look at night two of a road back-to-back, when you look at a team in Indiana that's fairly fresh, playing at home, this had schedule loss written all over it. In fact, it was a Sunday afternoon. The Rockets got drilled, I believe, in late January last year in Indianapolis, a very similar setting, and yet in this case, it just didn't happen, and you give the Rockets credit for being ready from the jump. As I said, what really stood out to me in this game was the 35-18 first quarter blitz by the Rockets, and that's so big because if you're in a game where you know your energy is eventually going to dip, the best thing you can do for yourself is to play from in front. The best thing that you can do is to go out and have maturity to be ready from the tip, because that's when your energy is going to be at your best. That's when the team is probably going to be able to be at its most efficient. And then also by doing that, if you do end up slowing the pace later, we know from Mike D'Antoni, that's something the Rockets are always worried about, keeping that pace going. And sometimes, especially night two of a road back-to-back, it may, well, the second part was a road game. First part, of course, was the home game against Memphis on Saturday night. But when you're in that setting on night two of a back-to-back, then the pace inevitably is going to lag a little bit at some point, and the best thing you can do for yourself is to grab a lead so that when that happens, you're playing from in front, and also, at the very least, because you're playing from in front, you're bleeding the clock, even if the pace isn't quite to what you like it. So even though I did think the Rockets slowed a little bit late in the game, by virtue of getting that big lead, it put them in a position where it was almost a strategic reason to do that, on top of just the usual tired legs, night two of a road back-to-back. And really, I would start by praising Mike D'Antoni for a pretty good distribution of minutes. Now, certainly it helps that they had the big lead, but no one played more than 35 minutes. That was Trevor Ariza. James Harden played 34. I saw a few folks saying on Twitter, why is James Harden playing in the fourth quarter of a game if they're comfortably ahead? Well, first off, games in the NBA can turn on a dime, and if there's no game tomorrow, today, Monday, they don't play again until Tuesday against Toronto at home, then certainly it's an opportunity to rest is going to be there anyway. But none of these guys played more than 35 minutes. The minutes distribution, in my opinion, was fairly optimal. If you're not playing anyone over 35 minutes, and Eric Gordon was held closer to 30 at 31 for him, Capella at 32, no one's overextended. I don't think James Harden, I mean, this is not a guy who's in his 30s, playing 34 minutes a game is that big of a deal. James, of course, very efficient throughout, 26 points, 15 assists, 5 rebounds, team best plus 25 in his 34 minutes. But beyond just his usual brilliance, I think Mike D'Antoni did a good job. No one really overextended themselves. It was a night two of a road back-to-back, but they found a way to get it done, and you look at the minute distribution, yeah, no one in the starting lineup exceeded 35. You had Bamute and PJ Tucker at 25 each off the bench, 16 from Tarik Black. I know Nene had the ankle issue, but part of it, it's night two of a back-to-back. Nene was never going to play Sunday anyway, so at this point, I'm not that worried about him being injured. And quite frankly, it's the smart thing to do. Tarik, in his 16 minutes, did play well, 4-4 from the field, 8 points, 3 rebounds. But Nene is not so good that if he doesn't have the energy advantage that you just play him no matter what. The margin between Nene and Tarik Black is not that wide, at least over the course of 82 games. Now, maybe Nene turns it up in the playoffs again. We'll see. But for now, that margin between Nene and Tarik Black, it's not so large that I would not prefer Tarik Black on night two of a road back-to-back if he has more energy. And certainly, he looked very fresh on Sunday. Again, 4-4 from the field in his 16 minutes. But yeah, I thought it was a very optimal usage of the players by Mike D'Antoni. That's something that he often takes a lot of criticism for on Rockets Twitter, is overextending guys. But in this case, I don't see that he did. Everything looks fairly professional, and they got out of it with a big win. No new injuries to report, at least that I know of. So yeah, I have no gripes about that. As far as individual standouts, certainly Harden, it's just been an incredible start to the season for him. We'll get to him momentarily. But what really flashed to me in this game was Clint Capella. Because what is his final line? Let's look that up. 20 and 17 on 9 of 12 from the field, plus 20 in his 32 minutes against Miles Turner, who's a pretty good young big man. Miles Turner, out of Texas, he's one of the more promising young bigs in the NBA. And it's not that his stat line was poor. Miles had 13 and 8, but certainly it was dwarfed by Clint, and Miles was a minus 18 in his 26 minutes. And that's what really stands out to you that, to this point in the season. With Clint, not only has it been a great season for him overall, certainly 13.3 points, 11.5 rebounds per game, 2 blocks, a player efficiency rating just a comical 27.6, ridiculously efficient because, of course, he's shooting almost 70% from the field. But what really stands out to me about Clint is how he is dominating some of these individual matchups against very, very quality bigs. You think back, I would say the second night of the year, a similar setting, back-to-back on the road. He had the 22-17 against Willie Cauley-Stein, and that was a game, the Kings, home opener, they were playing so well. That could have been a scheduled loss for the Rockets, coming off that emotional win the night before in Oakland and so many tired legs. The first game of no Chris Paul, except Clint Capella didn't let it be. He was the one that got them there. Then you look at the 16-20 he had against Joel Embiid. You look at the games he's had against Marc Gasol, in which he's had, 12 rebounds. Saturday, he had 14 and 3 blocks. You look at the game he had against Gobert, in which he had, 8-8 sounds almost pedestrian for Clint, but he had 4 blocks against Rudy Gobert. And so you look at these stat lines against some of the more talented young bigs that there are. About the only big, I would say, that Clint did not play especially well against was Dwight Howard, and some of that was by design, because playing against Dwight, not only is Dwight more physical than most, but I think the Rockets knew going into the Charlotte game that the weakness for Dwight is his resistance to the idea of coming out to the three-point line to guard. So the Rockets played a lot more small ball in that game, Ryan at the five, because they knew they could take advantage of Dwight's refusal to move his feet defensively and leave the paint. So that was a game in which it wasn't a great game for Clint, but he only played 17 minutes. Some of that was by design. Other than that, when you have really needed Clint, he's delivered in one-on-one situations, and he's also delivered in statement game situations. You look back to the Thursday game, the nationally televised win over Cleveland, when he had 19 points, 13 rebounds, 4 blocks. Whenever the Rockets have been in a tough spot, Clint has delivered this year. And again, that's why I want to highlight, it's not just the raw percentages. It's that when they are in a sticky spot, or when he is particularly challenged one-on-one, he is playing not just well, he's playing like a top 5 to 10 center in the entire NBA. And that's saying something given how saturated the market is at the center spot right now in the NBA. And that, to me, jumps out about this game, because the Rockets, what really amazes you about this one is that they won at the one category that you would expect fatigue to hit them at hardest, which is on the glass. The Rockets actually out-rebounded Indiana 47-41. And it's not just Clint 17. Let's give some credit to Ryan Anderson as well. Ryan, in his 33 minutes, had 9 rebounds. That's a very high total for him. And I've said in the past, when Ryan can chip in defensively, particularly on the glass, that's a huge help to the Rockets. But that's the one area of rebounding where I would think fatigue plays its biggest role. And yet, because that's what they need, that's what Clint gives them. And, the Rockets got out to that quick lead, and they never let it go. And it's just so impressive to see from Clint play 32 minutes. About the one nitpick you could come up with Clint's overall stat line this year is that, well, he's only playing 26 minutes per game. Can he really play 30? I think he can. You look at the last three games. The last three games for Clint, by the way, 19 and 13, 7 and 14, 20 and 17. So he's averaging basically just under 15 rebounds per game in his last three. But in those, he has played 31, 35, and 32 minutes. So yes, he can play that many minutes. We saw him the two games against Joel Embiid play 32 and 31. He certainly can. It's just the Rockets are aware, especially if you have a team that's this good, again, 11 and 3, 6 in a row, tops in the Western Conference. If you have a team that's this good, then there's no reason to overextend him, especially a big where there's so much of a cumulative pounding that takes place from running up and down the floor the way Clint does. So there are going to be games, certainly the Hawks, the Jazz, some of the blowouts this month where he plays only 22, and that artificially deflates his minutes per game total a little bit. And then there were, as I said, some extenuating circumstances, the matchup with Dwight Howard and then the Golden State where that death lineup makes it almost impossible to play any sort of traditional big. Those kind of deflate his, I would say, his averages. When you actually watch Clint Capella on a daily basis, it seems pretty clear to me that he is able to play low 30s minutes totals. Hell, even played 35 on Saturday night against the Grizzlies and still maintain his production to where in the fourth quarter he is as fresh and as efficient as he is in the first. And that is such a big deal to know that you have that option as the Rockets. Because with Clint, yeah, we saw the efficiency there last year too, but it's a matter of, is that production going to extrapolate? Is that production still going to be there if you truly make him an NBA starting caliber player? And so far, folks, that is exactly what's happening, and it paid off for the Rockets, certainly Clint individually, but again, the Rockets as a team, of course they won big. As I said, what really jumps out is that 47-41 rebounding advantage, because that's where you would think that there might be a little bit of tired legs. The Rockets, they were okay, but it certainly wasn't a performance to write home about from a shooting standpoint. 47.8% overall, 36.2% from behind the arc. I mean, that's solid, that's okay, but it's, those aren't numbers that just guarantee you a win at all costs. 17 of 47 from three is respectable, but it's certainly not like the Rockets were just hot and shot the lights out. No, they won this game big against a decent Indiana team. They were 6-7, almost 500 entering the game, and the Rockets got this done because it was a fairly average, maybe a little above average, but certainly not great shooting game for them. But you combine that, their normal weapons, with the level of energy and effort, and you see that on night two of a back-to-back, and that's when you know that a team is dialed in. And I know Mike D'Antoni has downplayed it, but to me, it traces back to the start of this streak, the last loss they had when they fell to 5-3 after that home loss to the Sixers. Mike D'Antoni called them out. He said that he didn't like what he was seeing. They didn't have the grit, the grind. And I asked him about it last week, and he tried to downplay it a little bit. He said, well, he kind of shoots from the hip after games. Then he watches film, and maybe it's a little different. He tried to, you know, downplay the role of that because, of course, Mike doesn't want to make it about him. That's not what he's about. But to me, watching from afar, they have looked like a different team from their commitment level since then. And certainly the offense has gotten better. There are some factors unrelated to D'Antoni's rant calling them out because the pace has picked up offensively. We've seen just some brilliant games lately from James Harden, who, wow, 15 assists on night two of a back-to-back. Eric Gordon, another efficient night, 21 points, 4 assists, 6 of 16 from the field. As Ollie said after Saturday's game, Gordon's willingness to attack the rim is something that's very, very impressive and giving the Rockets a different dimension to this offense. But in addition to all the talk about pace, the system, the scoring numbers, they're doing some things better. But in addition to all of that, the commitment, the focus, the energy is much better as well. And I think that traces back to the D'Antoni rant after the Philly game, because since then we have seen a much more dialed in group by the Rockets defensively. And what's most impressive about this, again, 23-point margin Sunday night. It was a 15-point margin against Memphis, but that's artificially low. The Rockets are winning that game by 20-plus in the fourth quarter, too. They have won this entire month. Not only have they won all six games in November, but other than the Cleveland game, none were close. In these six consecutive wins, they have been leading by more than 20 points in the fourth quarter every time but one. Cleveland, the only exception, and of course, when you have LeBron James fully focused, you know that's going to be a particular bear, so you just got to get a win however you can. But the Rockets aren't just winning these games, they are obliterating, and that's because it's a combination of, yeah, we've seen the offense pick up some, but you're seeing the energy get better as well, and that's where I think Clint Capela comes into play, because when you can combine the guard play of the likes of James Harden and Eric Gordon with someone on the interior like Clint Capela, that's when you get a team that's really, really special, when you can not only have the advantages at the guard spot, but also inside. That's when these Rockets, yeah, none of this looks fluky at all. They are 11-3, and if anything, they could be better than that. Imagine if they closed out Memphis or beat Philly at home. It's not hard at all to envision a scenario where they're 12-2 or 13-1. They have been a tremendous, tremendous team. One final note to the point on just their level of domination. With Sunday's win, the Rockets are now plus 8.2 in their point differential. They have caught the Celtics, that's second best in the entire NBA, to only the Warriors. So it's not just a matter of the Rockets winning games from a standpoint of, well, wins versus losses, and ultimately there's something fluky that's going to catch up with them. No, even though they were a little soft to open the year in terms of their margin, they have found themselves over these past six games especially, and now everything about them suggests that this is a dominant team, a top five team almost across the board. So yeah, there's nothing fluky about this at all. This is who they are. It's real and it's spectacular. But the only question you could come up with is the impending return of Chris Paul. Certainly that's going to alter the dynamics some, the rotation when they play James Harden and Eric Gordon. But the special thing about Eric Gordon, it's not like Eric is getting his points from being that ball dominant. As I mentioned the other day on my last show, it's not as if Eric is really getting the majority of his minutes with James Harden not on the floor. There may be 12 minutes a game that it's like that, but by and large, Eric Gordon is already not the primary ball handler on at least two-thirds of the minutes that he plays. So I'm not overly stressed about what's going to happen when Chris Paul comes back, because Eric is already used to playing off the ball. Sure, his rotation minutes, the certain sequences and lineups he's in there may change, but it's not like you're taking a guy from being ball dominant and then asking him to play off the ball. It's an adjustment, but it's not a massive one. And by and large, that gives you the best chance for this to be sustainable. If you really look at the Rockets' big picture direction, let's talk about where the Rockets are entering 2017. We knew they had the two stars, James Harden and Chris Paul, and we're all assuming that Chris Paul is still a top 10 player when he returns, and I have no reason to doubt that. But big picture, for the Rockets to catch the Warriors, we know they need more star power. That's why they went after Carmelo Anthony in the offseason for various reasons. It didn't work out. So short of making another trade, which is always out there, but I don't think you're going to hear trade talks pick up until closer to the deadline, especially with marquee players around the NBA, teams want to use these games to evaluate. So short of an outside acquisition, your two best internal growth candidates to kind of give you star-level production are Eric Gordon and Clint Capela, and boy, have they both delivered. Of course, we've spent most of this podcast talking about Capela, but Gordon, we all know what he's doing, scoring 23 points a game, 3 assists in his 33 minutes. It's like the Rockets have not even missed a beat in the absence of Chris Paul, because Eric Gordon has stepped into that role. And while he's a different type of player than Chris Paul, he's almost giving you that same level of production. Maybe not top 10, but he's up there. I mean, certainly all-star level production, I would say, from Eric in these first 14 games of the year for Rockets, 13 for Eric personally, because he did miss the one game with a stomach virus. But yeah, both of your variables. Because yeah, the Rockets have a lot of role players who, you know, the likes of Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, PJ Tucker, Nene, Tarik Black, Ryan Anderson. These are guys we know what they are. And certainly they can play very viable roles on a contender, but there's not much upside to them. They are what they are. In terms of the Rockets taking a step forward to actually be able to challenge the Warriors, sure, you can always dream about trades at the deadline, but short of exterior acquisitions, from an internal standpoint, the two guys that have shown you flashes of being more than what they have been heading into this season are Eric Gordon and Clint Capela. Both of those guys are now delivering. That's the big thing. The downside, both of them, well, they have minutes questions, because Capella's never played more than 24 minutes a game, and Eric, in the past, he has, but if you go by last year, there's a point of diminishing returns, because you look at when he played the first 40 games of the season, and shot over 40% from the field. That's when the Rockets got off to that 31-9 start, and then tailed off dramatically in the second half, shot only 32% from behind the arc. Now, Eric this year, it's not just about minutes. He just seems like a more springy player in general, because you're not just seeing Eric play well because he's shooting that well. He's attacking the rim. That's a point Ollie made in yesterday's show that I fully agree with. So it's not just a matter of, well, now he's fresh and he's hitting the threes again. No, he's healthier than ever. But certainly, even if he's got a spring to him that he did not even last year, there's still a similar point to be made, is that is there a point of diminishing returns? And that's why I'm not worried about Chris Paul, because if nothing else, it's going to help both of those guys stay fresher. Certainly for Clint, it should get him even more lobs, some easier efforts offensively compared to some of the workloads he's had to take on, especially any minutes without James Harden on the floor. But then especially for Eric, that's where it kicks in, getting him to be that number three option rather than number two, getting him to do even more things off the ball to where he can save his attacking the rim plays for when they really, really matter without feeling forced to do that, especially the minutes that James Harden is not on the floor. So are there going to be growing pains? Sure, because Chris Paul, top 10 player in the league, he's ball dominant. He's the point god. That's what people call him. Sure, it's going to be an adjustment when he returns, and I would expect that this week. Still no concrete date on that, but I think he's very, very close, as you've probably seen from videos and practice tweeted out by the likes of Jonathan Fagan at the Chronicle, Mark Berman at Fox 26. Chris is going to come back. There is going to be an adjustment, but I think it's one that, well, beyond just the obvious, he's a top 10 player, I think it's one that Rockets fans should be pretty excited about, because even if there's a temporary hiccup, at the same time, while the Rockets are dominant right now, I don't think it's reasonable to expect the likes of Clint Capella and especially Eric Gordon to maintain this level of production over 82 games. It's great to have it now that Chris isn't out there, but to actually preserve this version of Gordon in particular, you're going to need to be very careful about his usage, and the best way to do that is to have another guard, in the case of Chris Paul, not just another guard, another star guard. And yeah, if you can figure out a way to get Chris Paul integrated, and I think it's going to be easier than a lot of folks think, then boy, you can really have something, because for the Rockets fans that have been wanting your third star, you might have four. You might can make a legitimate argument that Eric Gordon and Clint Capella are the stars. Right now, they are both playing at an all-star level. It's early, there's only 14 games in, but boy, you combine top 10 players of James Harden, and certainly James is. We've seen him just have a phenomenal, phenomenal start to the year. Clearly the MVP front runner. Some of the dimes he had Sunday in Memphis, the pass through through his own five hole to a rolling Clint Capella to the bucket was just unbelievable. You're seeing James more comfortable than ever as the leader in the leader in Mike D'Antoni's offense. Feels like it's James Harden's offense, but certainly it's Coach D'Antoni really running the show here. But boy, you combine Harden and Chris, assuming they're right, with this version of Eric and this version of Clint, yeah, you can have something really, really special. So the focus, big picture, needs to be more than anything. Certainly you want Clint back. You want to make sure that knee is fine. But then it's about how do I maintain this version of Eric Gordon, this version of Clint Capella. And with Clint, it may be easier than Eric, because with Clint, certainly he's younger, he's been putting in the work in the weight room, he's very strong now, it's his fourth year in the NBA, he's just 23 years old, so he should maybe just be physically maturing into this beast. We saw this story the other day from Tim McMahon, quoting John Lucas, player development of the Rockets, comparing Capella to a poodle turning into a pit bull right in front of our eyes, which sounds like a pretty perfect analogy. But Eric, it's not just about him physically maturing into something, it's also about how do you make that happen over the course of 82 games, and the return of Chris Paul, even if there are some temporary hardships from the standpoint of how these guys fit together, I think it's going to be more than worth it in the end. So, with all that said, I will leave things right there. Again, thanks as always to you guys for sticking with us. Apologies for my absence the last few days. Well, I've been on vacation, but I'm back now. I do want to thank one final time Ollie Vajani, Kelly Eco for doing a great job in my absence steering the ship. But now I'm back and look forward to talking with you guys the rest of this week, including tomorrow night when the Rockets play Toronto back at Toyota Center. Have a chance to go to 12-3 and have a winning percentage of .800, which is just filthy to be winning 80% of your games at any point in the year, but certainly when you're 15 games in, as the Rockets will be after tomorrow night. But yeah, if you want to hear my thoughts on that game, certainly you can do so at Ben Dubose on Twitter or at Locked On Rockets. But then the easiest way, of course, is to listen to this podcast. And if you're not already subscribed to us, please do so. Stitcher, TuneIn, Megaphone, iTunes, wherever you want to listen to your podcast, just search for Locked On Rockets. You can find any of our daily episodes. And yeah, again, we're also on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, or you can email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Once again, happy final from Indianapolis. Rockets 118, Pacers 95. Rockets back in action tomorrow night at Toyota Center against the Toronto Raptors, and I look forward to talking with you guys again then. For now, enjoy your Monday. Enjoy your start to the week. Rockets 11-3 again tomorrow night. Home game against the Toronto Raptors is next on the docket, and I'll look forward to talking with you guys again shortly after that game.